When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 32.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to know more about me, feel free to visit my personal website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have coffee with my dear friend Paul Cartwright. Paul is an award-winning voice actor, director, and demo producer who has been in numerous animated series and video games, from Doc McStuffins, Smite, Street Outlaws, and many more. In this episode, we talk about putting the acting into voice acting, what animation studios are looking for in auditions, breaking down a script, and going beyond your comfort zone. How are you doing today, Paul?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
Good to hear.
Fantastic.
Awesome. So how do you take your coffee in the morning?
I don't drink coffee. What? I'm one of those who I just don't drink coffee regardless. I rarely eat breakfast. In the morning, my stomach is just like, don't put anything in me. Leave me alone until like 11.
Okay.
And so I've just learned over the years, I don't drink coffee. I don't drink juice. I don't eat breakfast. Like, my body just doesn't like that until about 11 o'clock in the morning. And by then I'm wide awake.
Well, what time do you generally get started with your?
I'm up at usually about 7:30.
Okay.
7:30 or so. And I've got kids, so that's a great way to wake me up.
Right.
Yeah. So that's all the wake up I need. And then it's just right to the email marketing at about 8 o'clock until the first auditions start coming in from my agent around 9:30 or so. And then it's just a full day's work.
Fantastic. So how did you get started in this whole VO world? I mean, I know you're a man of many hats. What's kind of your origin story?
Yeah, so I started, I've done about 20 plus years of on-camera and stage work, and I thought I'm going to be an on-camera actor and I'm going to do film and TV. And so I went and got my my master's degree, hoping that at some point I'd be able to teach acting. Mm-hmm. And so I went and got my master's at the Royal Conservatory out in England. At the and so I went on, got my MFA in acting, and was like, this is great, and didn't realize at the time the whole program was focused on the voice. And so I'm thinking, this is such great training, I'm gonna go to LA and be an on-camera actor, it's gonna be sweet. And I got to LA and pounded the pavement for about 18 months and just hated it. I just did not enjoy the on-camera scene. I was not having any success. I was really struggling. And while I was there, my dear friend, Stephanie Sutherland, I don't know if you know Stephanie, she is a legend.
Okay.
She is so incredible. She was like, "Hey, like, have you thought about voice acting?" And I was like, not really. Like, I do funny voices." And she's like, "Oh, no, 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 no. Voice acting is not funny voices. Like, you need to look at this." And so she took me to VO Mastery by Randy Thomas. Mm-hmm. And so I went to VO Mastery and was just like, "Oh, this is interesting." Started to get to know a few people and just thought, well, why not? Like, let's do it. So I bought my first microphone, about a CAD M179, which was a great condenser mic at the time. I still have it. I mean, it's actually right over here for my streaming. From there, I just started going. And in my first year on pay to play, I think I made like 15,000 or something like that. Gotcha. And I was like, okay, like this, there's something to this. Like this, there's something here. So that was how I got started.
Okay. So what kind of streaming do you do, out of curiosity?
Oh, every once in a while, I'll stream video games on my PC. Like, I'll play PC games and stream with buddies, or sometimes, I rarely do it, but I've got it. I've got a rig. I'm ready.
All right. with your acting degree, has any of that kind of bled over whenever you take a look at audition? Like, what have you learned from that that kind of helps you treat scripts differently?
All of it, all the time, every time. I am a acting first proponent in everything I do, and everything I coach, and everything I teach, and everything I stress with voice talent. Mm-hmm. You've got to be an actor. And what that means is not just I'm an actor, so I'm voice acting. What it means is you have to understand the principles of, you get a script, you have to know how to break it down. You have to know how to analyze that script and say, okay, so, you know, here's the client name and here's the brand, and you know, how am I going to make this fun, or how am I going to make this conversational? Those are all acting principles. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all part of the game. And so I am a huge proponent of, in every script, whether it's e-learning or animation or video game or whatever, you've got to be an actor first. You have to know how to interpret the script and how to give a read that's engaging and interesting and full of character and whatever else. So yeah, I'm all of that acting training is in everything I do.
So what are some other ways that you do break down scripts? Because, I mean, I know you just recently taught a whole class.
What are some of the key points? So some of the key points that I like to bring up, especially with video games and animation. So I was doing some work with Jennifer Trujillo. She's a casting director for Disney. So she's the one who cast Elena of Avalor and a bunch of other Disney animation. And she was saying, comedy is king in animation. Like, funny is what they're listening for and what they're looking for. And so if you are not able to approach an animation script and look at it and go, okay, how can I bring my own character to this, but at the same time, like, where can I add the funny? You're not going to stand out. You're just not. Like, you're not going to get noticed. And so one of the things I teach all my you know, voice actors and students is that, look, when you are doing animation reads, I want you to do at least one read that is totally beyond what you are comfortable with and what you normally would do. Even if it doesn't make any sense, and even if it's not funny, and even if it's not good, mm-hmm. I want you to go there. Because then once you've gone there, you now have an idea of how far you can go, and then you can try some new things. So I always encourage them, look, you're probably not going to use that take, but there might be two or three things that after you've done it, you're like, oh, actually, you know what? That wasn't too far. And that's kind of funny. So that's one big thing I do, especially with animation.
Okay. So how do you go bigger without just going louder? Because I know that's kind of an impulse to just start talking louder and using a lot more chest. How do you get to that uncomfortable personality?
I talk a lot with my students about, first of all, cadence.
Okay.
So we're talking about the speed of your word delivery, right? We're talking about the speed in which you're delivering your lines can change. The intensity on each of the words can change. The pitch on each of the words can change. There's so many different factors that are going to create, you know, a beautiful symbiotic, you know, sentence structure that doesn't just have to be, oh, go crazy. Okay, I'm going crazy. It could be
right.
I am going crazy. I mean, there's all these different levels of let's speed it up, let's slow it down, let's change the pitch, let's change from really, really fast like this to really slow. I mean, all these different things that you can add that create a dynamic more than loudness.
Gotcha. Fantastic. So when did you start directing and producing?
It was one of those things to where I got to the point where I had all these ideas in my head and no one else was helping me fulfill them. I was always like, hey, I want to find some friends who can shoot this film that, I'm thinking about, or hey, I've got this really cool idea for this commercial, but I don't know any DPs, or I don't know anyone else who can do it. And finally I just said, you know what? I just have to create this on my own if it's going to get done.
Right.
So I started just creating on my own little, whether it was commercial radio, the first radio ad I ever produced for a client, I was nominated for a Voice Arts Awards for a commercial spot for Lincoln Insurance. And it was one of these things where I just said, you know what? I'm just going to create this. So I just created the spot. And from there I was like, oh my goodness, I love this. I love creating. This is incredible. So I've been writing audio dramas. I've written TV sketches, comedy sketches. I've written all sorts of things. And then I'll produce the audio and the music. And I'm not a musician in terms of writing music, but I know people. Mm-hmm. And so I'll pay them to write music for me. But that production side started a couple of years ago, kind of when just after I'd gotten into voiceover. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, man, I love this. I love production. I love direction. I love creation. I want all of this. And so I started producing demos for clients about a year and a half ago, because I was an audio engineer for about 7 years.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I started producing demos at really reasonable rates for newer talents to help them get started, because, you know, a lot of new talent, when they jump in, they don't have $3,500 for a JMC demo or, you know, whatever else. Like, they don't have $3,000 or $2,500. And so I will get them a great rate to say, look, let me produce a stellar demo for you off the get-go, where we can showcase what you've already got, so that now you kind of have a platform to then go get better and go get more coaching and go improve and increase, so that you can get the super, you know, premier demo.
Right. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's been great.
So when you wake up, you said you start off with your own email marketing. What are you generally targeting? Are you going for commercial clients? Do you target different like animation studios and video game productions?
Yeah. So since I signed with Atlas, I don't even go for animation and video game studios anymore, because Atlas has consistently been getting me everything I could ever hope for in animation and video game, which is a dream. I know it sounds so like, oh, you know, once Atlas gave me everything, and I feel, you know, I just saying wake that, but up, it's true. Like,
and Nickelodeon, no, on my table, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's one of those things to where I'm very fortunate that they give me so much, and so I've shifted my marketing. What I do is every about 3 weeks, I take a look at what my trends have been. And so I just started this week back on e-learning. So I started with just production companies in general. I just reached out to production companies. Then I shifted to radio stations because I do radio imaging. And then I shifted to commercial houses. And now I'm back to e-learning. And I just kind of cycle through. You know, every three weeks or so, I'll be like, okay, I've been doing e-learning for 3 weeks. Let's start back over with, you know, production houses, or let's go to radio imaging or whatever. And so that's when I'll do my research. And I've used Upwork before. I've used Fiverr before to find leads, to do some email scraping and get me some contacts that I can research on my own. And then once I have my list, I just go to their website. I look at their demo, their stuff. I go through their portfolio. I craft a personal email, and I'll send anywhere from 10 to 20 a day.
Okay. So what is kind of your character development process?
Yeah, my process has always been a bit different from others that I've been noticing, especially in the VO community. I know that a lot of the animation coaches and, you know, character coaches like to focus a lot, whether it's on backstory or on, you know, what the character is giving you in the script to kind of embody and create that character. What I usually do when I get an animation or a video game breakdown is I'll read through the specs, obviously, I'll look at the lines, and then I do one read right from the get-go on what my first impression is.
Okay.
On just what I'm like, you know, I think it's this. And I'll do a first read through. And then if lightning strikes after that, where I'm like, actually, you know, if I do this and this and change this and this, da, 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 and then I'll do another read. If that doesn't happen, what I'll do is I'll go back and listen on my headphones. And I'll listen back to it and I'll read the script and go, okay, there's so much more I can flesh out here in terms of funny or in terms of, you know, character. And then I'll go back in the booth and then really start breaking down, okay, so who are they talking to? And even if none of that's given, you know, I'll do the whole, okay, well, I'm just going to imagine they're talking to this person because of this, and this is their response. And here we go. Let's try this. And then I'll do what I tell my students to do. I'll do one take where I'm just like crazy over the top, like would never speak that way in real life. And then I listen back and go, okay, one or two points of that actually I think worked. So I'll keep those and tone everything down. So my animation and video game auditions, I'll usually record four or five takes, mm-hmm. and then go back and cut out and put together really a one solid take. Usually they only want one solid take on a lot of these just because there's a lot to go through. Mm-hmm. If they allow two takes, then yeah, I'll keep two takes. But for the most part, these auditions I'm getting just say, look, we just want one take. And so I really have to break down five different reads and go, okay, what do I want to submit on this?
Right.
So that's my process in the booth.
Heard. So at what point as a working actor did you feel like you were ready for voiceover agency representation? Like how did you know you were ready to start like submitting for that you had the chops to be on such a great roster?
Wow, what's interesting about that is I was so naive that I thought I was ready long before I was ready. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I would probably say in most cases, that's a bad thing.
Right.
But for me, I was very fortunate that when I put together my own first demo, mm-hmm. and sent it out to a whole bunch of agents, and I don't recommend that. I didn't, of course, didn't hear back from any of them except one. But the response wasn't, hey, we liked your demo. The response was, wow, this is a really bad demo. And I was so grateful because I was like, oh, thank heaven. So if this is a bad demo, what's a good demo? I need to have a good demo. I need to have a great demo. What's a great demo? How do I get a great demo?
Right.
So from there, that was when it was like, okay, let's start doing some more research. Let's start listening to what are considered great demos. Let's start asking what are great demos, who has great demos. And so that was kind of the catalyst for me. So I was not ready for an agent at the time when I started reaching out for agents.
Right.
But what was nice is that one of those agents said, yeah, you're not ready. And that made me go, oh, okay, when am I ready? So when it was time to sign with Atlas, I had already signed with Coast to Coast, mm-hmm. and Portia Scott, who's an absolute legend. I love Portia. She's incredible.
Portia's great.
She was the one who booked me Doc McStuffins. Like she...
Okay.
Oh yeah. She's incredible. And so what happened was, is I, once I had what I thought was a great demo, I once again just started blasting VO agents. And this is before I'd had coaching and this is, you know, mm-hmm. and I think what had happened is that Portia said, your demos are okay, but let's actually bring you into the studio and read for me live so we can see what's going on here. Okay. So she heard enough in my demos that she was like, I think this guy's somewhere. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Right.
So she brought me in and I read live. And once I read for her live, and this is where I attribute all of that success to my acting background, to be able to go into that booth and have Portia throwing me left and right, you know, curveballs here and there, mm-hmm. as an actor, you have to be prepared to go with it and to change and to move and to be malleable and fluid. And after that, she was like, great, we want you, let's sign you. And so that was all attributed to my acting background. So that's where it's hard for me with voice actors who don't have a heavy acting background. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to say, okay, you're ready.
Right.
Because I would rather that they coached with several coaches and got several opinions before saying, okay, I'm ready for the next step. Instead of, well, you know, I worked with Paul for a year and he said, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Like, that's great and all, but I would much rather that you're getting other opinions,
right,
and hearing from other people before you make that jump. So I took the naive route and it worked for me, but everyone's journey is totally different.
Right. Absolutely. So if you were to write yourself a letter and then like send it back to yourself, back to those days when you were self-producing your demo, what would you tell yourself?
I would say, don't change anything that you're doing. And the reason I would say that is because all of the little, I don't want to call them mistakes. I mean, they were mistakes, but in the same sense, I learned from them. So they became invaluable. I'm one who doesn't believe in failure.
Right.
I'm one who believes in learning experiences. Everything's a learning experience. Something happens and you go, oh, so what do I learn from this? How can I improve on this?
Right.
And so for me, I wouldn't change anything about how I got to where I got. Because every single mistake, every single step where I was like, oh, wow, that I probably shouldn't have done that, was the thing that made me go, oh, well, then I should do it this way. And that led me to where I am now. So that's, yeah, I wouldn't change a single thing about how I got where I am today.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. I'm just so excited to be here. I appreciate the time.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Paul talk about how he went from the camera world into the voice realm and how he continues to strive every day to put authenticity into his reads. If you'd like to know more about Paul, you can visit his website at www.paulcartwrightvo.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.